sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up, we'll let you hear from Kirby Smart as the Dawgs continue preparation for Monday's national championship game. It is Dukes and Bell. Glad to have you listening, man. Before we get to that, though, we started the show today talking a little bit about how the Hawks lost. And, you know, listen, it is one of those backstories, obviously, with the Dawgs getting ready for the national championship and our Falcons playing a playoff game on Saturday against the Rams. But the irony is how this all went down. And so we were talking to Mike Conte. He's the pre- and post-game show halftime guy for our Atlanta Hawks here on 92.9 The Game. And I asked him about his reaction. Hawks lose 104-103 to last night, Arizona?
Phoenix,
yes. And the fact that they had a lead blew it to, you know, win the game potentially, or at least tie it. But they blew it at the end because Dennis Schroeder was not aware, Mike, or at least we don't know. We think he wasn't aware that they needed 3-2.
No. This was the perfect game plan by Coach Bud and Dennis because we are in it for the ping pong ball.
After the ping pong ball.
Nothing is gained by beating a team, which we might actually have to edge out for the worst record for the ping pong balls in the aforementioned Phoenix Suns. So Dennis Schroeder got the word. Two.
No. Three, Coach. Three.
So even though, yes, three would have won it, Schroeder in his own mind said, I'm getting us a ping pong ball. Here's how it sounded when Steve Holman had to give you the play-by-play.
Now the Hawks will put it in play. Dennis Schroeder will pick it up. Now Dennis dribbles. Dennis drives. He lays it up and around the rim and in. Why did he do that? Why in the world did Dennis Schroeder do that? And the game is now over. Dennis Schroeder went in for a layup when they needed a three-pointer. What in the world was he thinking about? The Hawks needed a three, and Dennis went in and laid it up. So your final score here in Phoenix on a ridiculous play by Dennis Schroeder. The final score, the Suns 104 and the Hawks 103.
Wow. Yeah, wow, Steve. The whole man, he's right. Why would you do that? Again, being the point guard, you got to be aware of the situation. And to tell me, Mike, if you're telling me he left the bench and they were like, Bud's going two, I don't buy it. You look up at the clock, you're seeing the clock count down.
Like, he had a great – here's the thing with Dennis. He had a good game. He had some nice passes, especially in half court. Also in transition, we talked about the Muscala alley-oop after that was a nice little play there.
Moose.
But, I mean, maybe the peroxide has melted in into his brain and it's affecting him. I don't know.
Do you remember when Derek Harper did this for the Mavericks in a playoff game against the Lakers?
No, he went for two instead of three.
He let the shot clock. He let the clock run out. The game ended up going into overtime, and the Lakers beat him.
Wow! So he had a
chance.
That was
a playoff game.
Yeah, he had a chance. I don't get
so
this.
Brain fart, or just absolutely. Dennis being Dennis?
No, I think it was a brain fart.
Dennis being Dennis.
I think he knew.
Arthur, you've never liked me. You've had it in for me from the jump. It's my gold Audi, my patch of hair. Carl, he is very anti-German.
Yes, we are aware of that, Dennis.
Yeah, well, you make plays like that.
Well, and AT had the audacity to say to me when I came in today, I was going to text you last night about your boy. I said, who are you talking about? Schroeder. I was like, come on, man.
Repeat after me, Schweinhund. Schroeder to Bagley. Schroeder to Bagley. Schroeder dishes to Bagley.
There's a certain point guard in Oklahoma right now. He would fit well in this uniform instead
no,
of one.
No, no. You don't need a point guard. It's all about the big men in the NBA these days.
So Hawks lose, man, after Schroeder goes for two and not three.
Air ball by Dennis Schroeder, for the love of God.
Yeah, that was another moment. That wasn't last night. That was a separate
moment.
That's
why Steve Holman is the best, okay? The absolute best play-by-play, man. He lives the way you're feeling it right there on the air, man.
Well, I just love the fact he's like, why would he do that? Game. All right,
now,
man.
Did Rathbun say, what was Rathbun's call like on Fox? I didn't catch it.
I had no idea. I didn't either.
I just saw the end of it.
Well, I guess position themselves for a good ping pong ball drop.
Possibly.
Increasing the odds of a number one pick. Isn't that right, Nate? Mm-hmm. He's not the best color commentator for nothing.
All right, man, we got to get to talking about these Dawgs. Let's go on the sidelines with the Dawgs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the Dawgs.
So I think that, and I've said this today, and people are already killing me. Boy, you got to be kidding me. Listen, there are so many more things I like about Georgia right now than I do Alabama, all right? On top of the fact they just lost Anfernee Jennings, one of their linebackers. He was a stud in the game against Clemson.
Look, he makes the hit that creates one of the turnovers. You know, again, Alabama operated on a short field. We spoke with Dan Wolkin earlier. And these linebackers, I mean, for whatever reason, they just could not catch a break from the jump from the start of the season. But a guy that's a major playmaker for them now out for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Why would he do that? I'm sorry. I just can't get that out of my head.
No, that's good. He's thinking strategically, Carl. He's looking big picture to the NBA draft. Isn't that right, Nate?
So if you look at Alabama and you go, all right, what can the Dogs do, all right, that a team did against them and had success? The team would beat Auburn. Now, don't look at the UCF game. UCF soundly beat Auburn, but Auburn soundly beat Alabama. And before the SEC championship game, you go back and look, Kerryon Johnson, guys, got the ball 30 times. He ran for over 100 yards. Are you telling me Chubb and Sony Michel can't do that against this Alabama team? Are you telling me that Jake Fromm, say it, Mike, he's one of us.
Jake Fromm, Houston County, one of us, hashtag Fromm time.
He can't throw for 230 yards like Stidham did? You're telling me that he can't? Are you telling me that the Georgia defense can't do what Auburn's defense did against Alabama, holding them to 3 of 11 on third down? Here's my point. The formula's there, and I think the Dogs are simply playing better. When you look across the board, Mike, and you said this, what about their running backs? They're good. Damian Harris and Scarborough right. And all those. But give me Chubb and Sony and Swift. If we were going to play a pickup game, I'm picking those three guys up before the Alabama backs.
Down Lyman, I give an advantage to the Tide, although Georgia's are good too. I mean, these two teams, and you'll hear it all week and you'll hear it during the game, but they are mirror images of each other. This is Kirby trying to create what Saban has had for a decade there. You've got big physical linemen. You got linebackers who make plays. Obviously, they got a Minkah Fitzpatrick. Georgia doesn't have one of those, but they got guys who have been making plays themselves, including a transfer from Alabama who had a pick in the game, in the Rose Bowl. To me, it's about who's going to stop the run game. Now, I want to qualify and quantify something I said earlier. We're talking about Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback, but there are things he does better than other things.
Yeah.
And going left, like we joked around about Zoolander, is not one of them. Third down conversions, remember, they got a short field because Clemson coughed it up and they made things rather easy for Alabama on their side of the field. I'm just saying, Jalen Hurts is a fantastic quarterback, and he showed you against Miss State when they came from behind and got it done. But I'm just telling you that Georgia can neutralize also some of the things that he does do right.
Yeah, as we talk about this, let's hear from Kirby Smart talking about putting the Rose Bowl behind him. Because, guys, that's a big part of this. That you've got to mentally be able to let go of all the excitement, all your friends talking good about you, the girls hollering at you, and think about what's in front of you.
Very emotional game, which concerns me, and talk to the players immediately afterwards about not burning any more energy or emotion on that game and moving on. Alabama had a little more sound victory, so they probably didn't burn quite as much emotion, although I know it was emotional to beat a team that beat them last year. And focus moving forward will be on preparing for Alabama.
Yeah, and Kirby's right about that. The emotional high for Georgia versus where Alabama was, a little different. And remember, the Alabama game, Mike, in my opinion, they dominated Clemson. It really, the emotional roller coaster that we were on with the Dogs in that game against OU was completely different for Alabama fans after they kind of got control in the second half. And you said it, those two turnovers in the third quarter that I thought about a four-minute span that really set it apart, and you kind of went, they're not going to come back.
And the thing is, you heard it from a lot of the players, and we didn't really talk much about it last week, but I think Dabo Sandy voted for Ohio State. That resonated with a bunch of players. And the fact that I guess Saban and certainly the coaching staff, we are not losing 2 out of 3 to Clemson. I think they had a mean on. They played. I mean, they played with a passion. That looked like no other Alabama team we saw this year. Let's be honest.
No, it did. They played their best game, but I think overall the Dogs have been a better team.
Yeah, save for the first half, or you'd argue the second half against Florida State,
right,
when they knocked DeAndre Francois out.
Or early in the season. Here's Kirby talking about getting ready for Bama. And listen, this is an exciting moment, not only for the team, but for all the Dog fans.
Beginning on what I know and respect, it's a really good football team in Alabama, and looking forward to an opportunity to play for a national championship in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. And I think it says a lot about our conference and the competitive nature of it for two teams to come together and to play that are from the same conference and have put themselves in a situation to do something really special. So our team's really excited.
Now, I've said this, you know, Kirby, his wife, Mary Beth, they're still good friends with Coach Saban and his wife. And Saban admitted, listen, we still talk. You know, people always wonder how frequently that happens. I don't know if either guy would admit how often that does. But, you know, there's no a secret about the fact that these two guys respect. And I think there's a love for each other because they spent all that time together. And let's face it, he helped Saban win some of those national championships. Four of them, right? So this is not about Kirby and Saban, though. And everybody wants to make it about that. It's going to be about the guys in the trenches, Mike. It's going to be about the playmakers, the guys on defense. I know everybody wants to make it about that, but – It's really not.
Well, maybe Cheney's going to dial up, you know, Godwin, or maybe it's going to be Ridley or June for Alabama. The wide receivers, you know, the run game, we mentioned DeAndre Swift. He really wasn't a factor because he didn't need to be. Can DeAndre Swift be a guy maybe catching the football out of the backfield? There's something, and again, the turnovers, it's a no-brainer. When you've got so teams, Carl, that are so evenly matched, so identical at everything that they're trying to do, then it's going to be about a turnover or two.
Yeah, it certainly is. Here's Kirby talking about, does he have any advantages over Nick Saban, because he stayed there, you know, so long, 8 or 9 years with them, and as we said, won national championships. What are the tendencies?
I don't know that that's an advantage. His tendencies and his strengths are recruiting really good players that are really big and really fast, and then you have to block them, okay? Or you have to be able to run the ball against them, or you have to be able to defend the wideouts and the quarterback. I mean, it comes down to a lot more than his tendencies, because his tendencies are very similar to a lot of good coaches.
The one area I do think the Dogs have an advantage is special teams. I said this earlier, Rodrigo Blankenship, Alabama. People forget they had a couple of bad special teams play in that loss to Auburn. They had a couple of botched snaps. Field goal unit has not been great this year. It's no secret.
Why do you hate Bama so much?
I'm just pointing out facts.
It's the fans, sir. It's the fans. It's just a level. Look, there's a sense of entitlement. We've talked about this before. And Saban is such a grumpus. One area that Saban has the edge on, Kirby, grumpiness.
No doubt.
The grumpus. Coach Grumpus. I don't know. You know, we're worth these media people, television. So we're supposed to wait a month to play this game, Coach? When's the best time to play? Play it after the Super Bowl? Saban's always player safety. You know, I don't – these hurry-up offenses, player safety. Then you run the same offense yourself. You're so – he's so full of it. That's what – he's a – not a phony, but he's hypocritical sometimes. And that's what drives me crazy about Nick Saban in a nutshell.
Yeah, and listen, I don't think anybody would disagree with you on that. When it plays to his advantage, he's all for it. When it doesn't, you know, he wants to point it out and say how it's bad for the game and nobody's looking out for the safety of the kids, yada, yada, yada. Here's what I know, guys. Ball control is going to be a key, and it sounds simple with as physical as both of these defenses are, but I think Georgia's defense is better right now by a tad. And the injuries don't help Alabama.
You think Georgia's defense is better than Alabama's
right
now? I disagree with you right there.
With the absence of two key players, and I just talked about Anthony Jennings and Sean Deion Hamilton both being out, I think those are two big linebacking guys that are playmakers that are not going to be on the field on Monday night. Advantage Dogs with Roquan and Lorenzo Carter and company, Trent Thompson up front. I'm giving the edge to the Dogs slightly, not a whole lot, but slightly.
I just, you know, you saw Deshaun. I mean, Deron Payne. I mean, they've got guys. I mean, big physical defensive linemen that can move for that size. That obviously NFL scouts and general managers are already sort of, you know, salivating to get those guys on their team. I would agree with you that Georgia's linebacker is better because of just the injury factor. Mm-hmm. But then again, you know, Minkah Fitzpatrick, he's all world, man.
No, he is. He's a first round pick, might be top five pick from everything that I'm seeing. But again, I get back to, you know, can the Dogs control the ball like Auburn did against Alabama? And I just bring that up because that's their most recent loss. They had 78 snaps against Alabama. That's a lot. Had the ball for 36 minutes in that game. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. So, you know, if you can do those things, if you feel like the Dogs can do what Auburn did against them, you're giving them a real chance to win this football game, and I certainly am. I know a lot of you are. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can hit us up and tell us what you think.
And you can't be as stubborn as Clemson was with the play call. Everybody in their uncle could see you just running the ball between the tackles. And again, the quarterback, you know what you needed? You need what everybody needs, a Deshaun Watson. Hey, by the way, we talked earlier about this on Monday. Again, we worked on New Year's Day, but we saw in the pregame the Baker Mayfield walking through a portion of Georgia's warmups. And that got to some of those guys, and that's part of the reason Davin Bellamy, in an extended interview you may have read by now, said that when he yelled, "Humble yourself," it was because he took issue with him walking through part of where the receivers were doing, going through their receiver drills. He said, "I don't really like to get into it and talk about another opponent." Bellamy said, but he got all in our wide receiver drills pregame, and he says, "And we're the wrong team to give fire to."
Well, when you win the way they did, you can say what you want, and, you know, he's right. I think it's classless when you try to, you know, mentally get into guys' heads by walking through the pregame drills or, Mike, throwing footballs at guys, as Baker Mayfield has been known to do.
Mecole Hardman said he thought he was just listening to music, chilling. Apparently, one receiver shouted something to Mayfield, but he just didn't respond and kind of did his thing. But, again, that's what you want to call it competitive. You want to talk swagger, getting in guys' heads. It does irk some people, and it's kind of interesting to see how it played out. And humble yourself as he's walking off the field.
I just tweeted out a little while ago, there are shirts out there for those of you who are interested. Georgia fans are selling Humble Yourself t-shirts on top of an outline of a bulldog.
Nice.
Pretty cool. All right, man. Bill Hancock's going to join us. We'll talk to the executive director of the College Football Playoff. We know he's got a seat at Mercedes-Benz.
Well, guess who else has a seat?
Who?
The first fan, the commander-in-chief.
Oh, really?
Details to follow.
Hawks have 6 seconds. Dennis comes up. He'll drive. He scores at .9. That cuts it to one. In it comes. Booker's got it. Horn sounds. The ball game's over. Marquise Chris, the hero, the stretch, finishes with 17 and 11.
Why in the world did Dennis Schroeder do that? And the game is now over. Dennis Schroeder went in for a layup when they needed a three-pointer. What in the world was he thinking about?
Reminder, Saturday, McCray's Tavern in Midtown, 92.9 The Game will be there. College football game time presented by Bud Light starting at 11 a.m. And they'll be there all day getting ready for the Atlanta playoff game, of course, Falcons-Rams. And you can enjoy $3 Bud Light draft specials and delicious food while watching the wild card playoff games, guys. We're waiting on Bill Hancock to join us. He will in just a few minutes. A couple of college notes. One of them, Penn State's running back Saquon Barkley, is going to be represented by Roc Nation. So Jay-Z's Roc Nation has signed the top college running back available for this year's NFL draft. But he's not the only one. People don't know this, but, you know, Todd Gurley also signed with him.
Yeah, Todd Gurley, Fournette's there. There's a couple other players around. And we were out in Vegas for a fight. And I think Roc Nation's going to probably downsize their boxing commitment because there's just no money to be made for them. They're out. So that's a smart play. But they are in getting some high-profile players. So Saquon Barkley, arguably the first running back off the board in the NFL draft. Going to go with Roc Nation. And again, the cachet, it's not just about sport. I know it might not mean anything to the fans, but they're also about financial management and not mismanaging your money. The idea that Jay-Z and his guys
want to
set you up. Hey,
and it's not, by the way, people, the misconception, it's not Jay-Z representing these folks. The agency of people that work for him. For example, there's a lady that represents Dez Bryant that works for Roc Nation. She is also, you know, one of the agents that works in the agency. But the name itself, people always think about Jay-Z. It's not like Jay's negotiating these contracts.
But like I said, I mean, we mentioned Fournette. We mentioned other guys that are out there and Robinson Cano and other big names. So, yeah, pretty good for him, man. I can't wait to see what he's going to do in the NFL.
I think he's going to be a stud.
All right, we got some news that broke. We were just wrapping up with the dog report earlier here on Dukes and Bell. The president is coming to the national championship game. President Trump is going to make Georgia great again.
It's going to be huge.
And according to Georgia historians, the last time a president attended a Georgia championship game, that would have been Jimmy Carter.
Okay.
As a lame duck president, attending Georgia versus Notre Dame down at the Superdome.
Has he gone to any college football
games? I'm glad you asked me that. He has been to an Army-Navy game, but he was president-elect. This is his first college game as the man.
Okay. Cool. All right.
So,
maybe
his
first sporting event, period.
Is it?
Yeah, because he didn't throw out the first pitch, customarily what presidents do during baseball
season. Right, for the start of the baseball season. All right.
Just a bunch of golf.
He was where I was at playing golf down there.
Now watch me hit this drive. Melania will also be in attendance. So the first lady will be here, and I guess that's one suite that the college football playoff will not make $100,000 off of the national championship game.
No, they will not.
Because that's going to go to number 45.
All right, man. Interesting news. We'll be down at Stats heading downtown on Monday if you want to come hang out with us. And we invite you to do that. You can also register for that Herschel Walker signed autograph jersey that we've got. And Mike and I will be on from 2 to 6. There'll be a special college game time show from 6 to 8. Getting you ready for the game. Rick and John will be down there from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. But it's an all-day affair, man, as we get ready for the big game on Monday.
It's going to be fabulous. So the game now, as we said, Prez will be there. That does add, I would imagine, some more security. Although everything's, you know, since we've had the new Mercedes-Benz, I got to admit, I told you this when we were in Miami for other games. You had been other stadiums before we finished Mercedes-Benz.
Getting in and out.
It's just so much easier now to get in and out. I mean, once you know, problem is there's so many first-time fans that no one knows what to do with the barcode. How do I scan this confounded laser? You know what I mean? But once you know what you're doing, it is pretty easy to get in and out of the Benz.
Yeah, I think, too, you just said it, though. I mean, I don't know what time he's getting in here, but there will be extra security. I mean, there'll be, you know, that may mess up a lot of the folks who are making their way down to Mercedes-Benz. So get there early. I will tell you that.
That's right.
All right, get there early.
If you're on any watch list, you might not want to attend the game.
I agree. Hey, Bill Hancock. Big Bill Hancock, as we like to say on this program, joining us on Dukes and Bell. Bill, we were just talking about the president says he's coming to this game. Did you know that?
What's the word on that? What's out there on that? I haven't seen any news in a couple of hours.
Yep, there's a couple of now APs reporting. RAJC here in Atlanta has it as well. But according to our paper, the president will attend the national championship game on Monday night.
Well. Let me just say that.
So we're just saying that's one less suite that the College Football Playoff Committee will make money off of, Bill, off of this event. I'm sorry.
I had to go there. Well said.
All right.
Well said.
Well, how are you now that we're down to two?
It is so great to hear your guys' voices again. It's been, what, 3 or 4 weeks?
Yes, sir.
We always have so much fun. You know, what a matchup. My goodness, the city will be electric. And obviously coming off of an incredible Rose Bowl game and then Alabama's dominant performance over Clemson, I have no idea what's going to happen.
You know, Bill, the argument for the playoff we finally got four. I know that there's always going to be somebody on the outside looking in, but this time around, it's a school that isn't a smaller conference. What do you say to fans of UCF who handled their business and finished undefeated?
Well, UCF had a great season and obviously had a tremendous bowl victory, but the committee has to look at who you played for every team, and that's what they do. And I am confident the committee made the right decision. So very happy for UCF. I have high praise for them. Congratulate Coach Frost and the players. But the committee made the right decision.
Do you have any beef with them raising a national championship banner down at UCF?
No, my goodness. People in America are free to say what they feel like they need to say and praise that. No, I don't think anybody's voted on the national champion, but you bet they should and are right to sing the praises of their team, and they're doing it.
Bill, as we talk to Bill Hancock here on Dukes and Bell, executive director of the College Football Playoff, it's something that Mike and I have talked about. I've talked about it with various friends in college football. Because the way the playoff is set up, do you feel like it has diminished some of the other bowls? I will not say all of them, but some of the other bowls, in the sense that, you know, there was a time where we paid a lot more attention to the bowls themselves, and it only seems like once we figure out what the playoff is, those are the ones that we really care about. Has it hurt the bowl system as far as, you know, people paying attention to it?
No, it hasn't. In terms of the metric of television viewership, it has not. Viewership's held up just fine. Matter of fact, I haven't seen about the last week, but after the first 20 games, the viewership was up something like 18%. Mm-hmm. It hasn't hurt them from the perspective of the players who get to go on that bowl trip that the three of us have talked about many, many times. Bowl attendance is ticking down. I don't think that's because of CFP. I tend to think that's because of bowl trip, because it is not the novelty for fans that it used to be.
Right.
But CFP didn't make that happen.
Well, I mean, there's a oversaturation of bowl games that's nothing to do with you guys. I mean, I think it's capped at 41 right now. But if you saw the Rose Bowl or you saw the Sugar Bowl, plus all the ancillary events, the concerts and stuff, there was a worry that fans weren't going to be able to travel to watch all the games, but that hasn't been an issue because look how many Georgia and Oklahoma fans made that trip.
Yeah. I've never seen so much red in a stadium before, and you couldn't really tell who had more fans. Someone asked me this morning. Well, Georgia had 70 to 30. I don't think so. Georgia had a bunch of people there, but so did Oklahoma. It was an event that people had to be a part of. If you were a Georgia or Oklahoma fan, you had to be there, and man, they were.
Bill, are you surprised at the ticket prices we're hearing down at Mercedes-Benz for this particular game? For let's just say the average fan trying to to go see their team play. For dog fans who hadn't been there in 30 some odd years, what do you think about the ticket prices?
Well, we've known it was going to be a hard ticket ever since the summer because we're here in Atlanta, for crying out loud, in the crossroads of college football. And then as soon as Selection Day happened, it just got even a more difficult ticket. I would say this about ticket prices, because I've seen this for years and years and years. The prices that you sometimes see quoted are not the actual price. You can do better than that. But it is a very tough ticket. And people who bought their tickets last spring and last summer and earlier this fall, especially here in Atlanta, are thrilled.
Right.
They are thrilled. They know they did the right thing.
You know, Bill, we talk a lot about what you guys are looking for in that playoff committee room once it starts in the end of October. The conference schedule, I guess there's really no need for the SEC to go to a 9-game conference schedule when you see the power of what they did this year with two teams in the championship game.
a lot of debate about that around the country. It doesn't affect the committee. The committee just looks at the overall schedule. 8-game conference schedule, 9-game conference schedule. Who did you play in September? That's what it's all about. It's all about the whole schedule. And obviously, what a season it's been for SEC. And I'm happy for them. Anytime you have a playoff, you don't know who's going to win. And it certainly has turned out well for the SEC, obviously.
SEC! SEC! Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. I got carried away. I apologize. It is Bill Hancock on the WadeForward.com hotline. All right, so I ask you this every year, and I'll ask you again. You know, you go through this process. Obviously, we'll get some new folks in the committee as we move forward. You changing anything? What would you change? The process, anything that you'd want to adjust moving forward?
We'll look at that in the off season, but I can't imagine any significant changes happening. We're pleased with the committee protocol. The committee is comfortable with the protocol. I want us to be our own harshest critic.
Right.
I want us to take a deep dive and see what we could do to change it. But this thing's working. Don't fix it. It ain't broke.
All right. All we would suggest is once you've done the process, Drew, how about like some hidden cameras to see what goes on in there? Let us in on it, man.
I've talked about adding you guys to the committee.
Please.
But you have to retire first.
Well, some would say what we're doing is retirement. Yeah, we're stealing money, Bill. Yeah. But anyway, but Bill, we do appreciate your insight throughout the year and letting fans know what you guys are looking for and how the process plays out. And I think you got it right this year.
Well, thank you. Y'all are great. We always have fun, and I'm sitting here across town from you, and it's always great to be in Atlanta.
All right, Bill, we'll see you down at the parties.
Absolutely.
Take care. All right, my
Take
man.
Care.
All right, man. Big Bill, as we said, guys, I mean, yeah, UCF has a beef, and for those that are wondering, there's a contract in place with the networks. This deal is done for another, 8 or 9 years? So we're not going anywhere as far as expand. This year, I mean, the Big Ten, they played some great football, but they didn't play at the right times. The Iowa loss for Ohio State, Wisconsin not being able to play stronger against Ohio State, that's what kept them out of this party.
Coming up, D. Orlando Ledbetter, Falcons beat writer. What's D. Led think about the Falcons' chances on Saturday?
What's up with Julio?
And, what's the latest on this team as they prepare for the Rams? It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, D. Orlando Ledbetter at 5, guys. We'll have the Falcon report. And one guy that I'm concerned about that I'll tell you guys about in regards to the Falcons being ready for the Rams. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. We were just talking about the fact that, the president apparently has announced that he's going to be here on
That's
Monday.
Right.
And that is for the national championship game. And Mike was just laying out, he's not, you know, as a sitting president, he has not attended any of these games.
Nope,
so this
he
be
was
the first one.
President-elect, he went to an Army-Navy game, they say. But this will be his first time, and the first lady will be in attendance. And
who's he rooting for?
He does have a great relationship with Herschel Walker from his days with Herschel with the Generals in the USF. And Herschel still says he is okay with Trump.
You think he's a Georgia guy then? You think he's going for Georgia?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, again, stay in your lane because you don't know. All we have to say is Trump, I'll never listen to your station again. So you got to be really careful. It's how we just try to navigate through just mentioning the president.
Well,
coming
we're
to
telling
Mercedes
you the
Benz.
Information. I'm not saying anything bad about the guy.
No,
I'm just
you're
simply
not.
Saying that he's coming to the game.
Yeah, Carl, you sellout. I heard what you said.
Yeah, right.
He did. Back a couple of Alabama politicians, so you know.
Well, selectively, Arthur. He kind of went one and then the other. But anywho, Prez will be here, number 45.
You don't think these questions are going to be asked? President, Mr. President, who are you rooting for?
I'm just here to see a great game and show off my incredibly hot Czech wife.
Let's talk to our man.
Slovakian.
D. Orlando Ledbetter. Yeah, because you screwed that up.
Or Slovenian.
Hey, D, what's happening, man? Happy New Year to you.
Hey, Happy New Year, Carl and Mike. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Oh, West Coast flow for D-Led. Gets to go to L.A.
Yeah, man. And speaking of these Rams, you know, I know that you're breaking it all down, looking at this game. Sean McVay, they've done a great job of being able to score a bunch of points. And my question, D, at least to start this conversation, is can we slow them down? They're averaging, 30 a game this season?
Oh, yeah, they can be slowed down. Got to hit Todd Gurley first. You got to do the old take out the main cog, and that takes away their play action passing game. But, yeah, you got to get Gurley, and then you're going to have to cover him, and he's their lead receiver too. But he's getting the ball, so you might as well put somebody on him all day.
The defense has done its job, man. We've talked about the big leap all season with you statistically. The eye test, other than maybe some lapses in pass rush, I'm not worried about them. I'm just worried about this offense keeping up. I mean, it's the same question we seem to be asking you every week. I mean, can Julio go? Will Julio be effective? And now we throw in the monkey in the wrench with Devontae being banged up. How concerned are you about the injuries?
Oh, yeah, very much so. Not so much about the injury, but I think they're going to be ready to go physically. It's just the fact that the Rams, they have some big advantages going against the Rams. The Rams give up a whole lot of yards. They're 28th in the league against the run. So the Falcons should be able to run the ball, but the Rams do, play pretty good red zone defense. So Sarkisian's going to have to outwit Wade Phillips at some, and get some touchdowns over these field goals. But that Rams defense is not very formidable. And you should be able to bust it open and get some touchdowns.
D, as you head into this wild card weekend, what's your number one concern as you look at this matchup between the Falcons and the Rams?
Aaron Donald destroying the whole offense all by himself against Wes Weiser and Ben Garland. That could happen. You gotta slow that kid down. He's got 11 sacks, 15 tackles for loss, and he could just mess the whole thing up.
Now, the Falcons have gone up against guys like Ndamukong Suh, and that Dolphins game was its own kind of strange aberration, how the second half went down. We just played, and, Kawan Short, the Carolina Panthers bring to the table with Quinn, and obviously that linebacker core. I mean, I know what you're saying, D. I get it, but I still think we played we played Carolina tough twice. Should have beat them both times.
Yeah, Matt ran for his life all day, and he only got 5 field goals. So, I don't know if you want to hang that one out there as the one that said they got it done.
D, I've been accused of being too negative, man. I'm trying to be a silver lining here, man.
Yeah, but you need touchdowns. You need touchdowns. Yep. Robert Quinn's no joke. Michael Brockers, Colin Bonner, they're coming. They're coming for Matt Ryan on Saturday.
Yeah, and I said this, Wade Phillips will draw up and have some blitz packages in there. Wade's been a great defensive coordinator over the course of his career. Had success pretty much everywhere he's gone in that particular role. And you're right. I mean, they got to be ready for that. Does that mean Matt is throwing the ball more, or are we attempting to run the ball more? Because, we threw the ball 45 times against Carolina because we couldn't run it.
Right, right. You couldn't run it. I think that's the key, Carl. Good point. Maybe we could make Mike be a little bit positive here when you point out that the Rams don't have a good run defense.
Right.
But so you can, you should be able to run it, and that'll certainly set up the passing attack off of the play action and the move stuff for him. So, Freeman's knee is very big, but, you do have two good other backs in Coleman and Ward if he's not 100%. But he was out here jogging today, and that's a good sign that it was probably just a little bruise or something. And, that'll loosen itself up over the course of the week here, and he'll be ready to go on Saturday.
It's D. Orlando Ledbetter, the beat reporter from the AJC, talking about the Falcons and the Rams. Special teams, man, the penalties, 4 special teams penalties, D. Anytime, Roberts can make a play, something goes wrong. What about the idea of using Tevin Coleman as a kicker? Who would be the other guy if Roberts can't return kicks on Saturday?
Today, Mike, they had Taylor Gabriel and Justin Hardy back there fielding punts. Mm-hmm. And, Gabriel's certainly done it before in his time with Cleveland. They certainly trust Hardy, maybe not to return it, but to catch it. Gabriel would be a dangerous guy on punt. I didn't get to see the kickoffs today and see who would replace him back there. Let's go ahead and nominate Coleman for that job, too.
Yeah, it's going to be a big part. I mean, I just want to get positive yards in the return game, and that's pretty much what I care about. Andre Roberts had some big returns in the last game, but, penalties killed that. Speaking of playing a clean game, can we play a clean game? It seems like every time a flag is thrown now, D, it's on the Falcons.
Yeah, Coach Keith said that, they had cleaned that stuff up on special teams, and it just kind of reared its head again. And that's a sign of the other team being faster than you and overpowering you on special teams. And Carolina was able to do that. They had almost 90 yards in penalties. I think the Rams are a little bit slower, but a little bit more, shiftier and trickier under Coach Fossil's the way he runs his special team. So the speed should be an advantage and shouldn't allow the guys to get out of position and do things that, you know, they don't want to do, like blocking in the back and hitting guys too soon and stuff like that.
D-Led with us here breaking down the Falcons. What about getting pressure on Goff and the fact that Marist High School's Sean McVay, this is his first rodeo as the head coach? I mean, we love the defense. The only thing I could complain about, and I think you would agree, D, is there's times where the pass rush kind of disappears.
Yeah, well, you know, it's 13th in the league. They got 39 sacks, Mike. So, but, yeah, you know, you want that. You want to see them show up on third and longs and third downs and get off on the field with the home run sacks. But Grady Jarrett's definitely been coming up the middle. The ends are kind of slowed it down. Maybe Tack gets fired up because he's back in L.A. and so forth and wants to show his folks out there he's a big-timer now. So, you know, they got to do something. Tack, Beasley, Claiborne, somebody's got to get to the kid and rattle his cage. You know, they did that last year, but that was just his fourth start without any blocking, and now they've got that kind of taken care of, and he looks pretty good back there throwing the ball.
D, are they asking Vic to do too much? We're talking about Vic Beasley. You know, is he a pass rusher? Is he a linebacker in coverage? Are they asking him to do too much, and that's why maybe he hasn't had as much success as he had rushing the passer last year?
You know, they definitely have changed his role, so maybe simplifying that would be best for the playoffs now. You know, certainly trying to bring him off the edge in passing situations. Didn't look at the numbers, but, you know, it was pretty low, the Saints game, 22 snaps, I believe. And you just want to bring him in on third down because you can't set him up there out there by himself in the rundowns because the Rams are just, you know, that big Haverstein's a big tackle on that right side, and they'll try to just run that thing over there behind him and Brown if they see Vic over there by himself. So, you know, that's problematic. That's what they're trying to do, and, you know, they got to release him and figure out a way to get him back going on his pass rush.
All right, before we cut you loose, Steve, before you head out to L.A., we have a sidebar topic today about a boys' night out. Now, you get to go on the road, obviously, covering the Falcons and your various duties. But when you're home, do you do a boys' night out? Is that something you have to ask for permission, or you just do it?
Oh, no, we do that on the regular. We usually Monday night football. We're somewhere smoking cigars and having a beverage with the fellas. That's our night out. We just call it Monday night football.
D's my got man. Control of his household, Carl.
No doubt. You hear it right there. He says, we do that every week. Hey, D, man, appreciate you as always. Enjoy the trip out to L.A. Hopefully we're talking about a W next week, and thanks again.
All right, Carl and Mike, take care. Thanks for having me.
That's our man, D. Orlando Ledbetter. He said, watch out for that pass rush. Can this O-line handle it? You've been talking about it all week as well, and that means Matt's not going to have a pristine pocket, Carl.
No.
We'll talk more about it in the Falcon Report, but Matt's going to have to make some tough throws.
Well, and he's got to make some plays. You know, Matt's been an MVP in this league. He's played at a very high level. We need Matt to play at that level for the next 4 weeks. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to have to happen for us to get back to the Super Bowl. Hey, man, Falcon Report's coming up. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.